Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for I'm now going to hand over to my colleague, Dr. Professor Savage, who is going to introduce Stephen.
Thank you very much, Ali. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to GIGS, welcome to the British Academy. It gives me immense pleasure, really. It's a great honor to introduce Shara Krasju, who is assistant professor at the University of Tehran, Department of Archaeology. Shara is not just a great scholar known in the international scene of history and archaeology, but I'm very proud to say that he's also a very, very dear friend, like a family friend, really. We go back a long way before he was even born. I can't say that, but I'm much, much older. And it's such a pleasure to see him here also with his dear wife, Eloisa, and they've come from Tehran. Shara Krasju really came into sort of our subject and our life in 2000 when I was taking a tour to Iran and we visited the museum, the National Museum, and our dear friend Khanum Jafar Muhammad, he came running to me and said, I have to introduce a very, very bright young student to you, and he is really hoping to meet you and talk to you. And there was this shy, very thin, very tall Shara standing there, following us, the group, along from one section to the other. And then soon after that, I think you visited London as an Iran Heritage Foundation fellow, and you forged a very, very deep and wonderful relationship with John, and you worked with us in the British Museum on the Forgotten Empire exhibition, which opened in 2005, and you contributed to the catalogue, and you started a PhD with John at the British Museum, John Curtis, and a supervisor at Birkbeck College, and you finished in 2011, I think. Or 2010, and Sharif did his PhD on ritual practices at Persepolis. I am not going to take up much of your time, but I must emphasize again that he is definitely seen as one of the leading scholars in Achaemenid, Elamite, Median, sort of Persian-related art and history, and he also has the strength of knowing cuneiforms and, you know, checking the sources, Elamite, Akkadian, or Persian. So tonight he'll be talking about Median art. We are really very honored and absolutely delighted. Professor Krasju, please.
Thank you, dear Vesta. I hope I'm close to what you said. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming for this lecture about the puzzle of Median art. It is called puzzle because it's a big question about the existence of Median art. We have enough information about the arts of different periods, pre-Islamic art of Iran, including Elamite, Achaemenid, Seleucid, Parthian, and Sasanian. But there is one gap in between, which is the Median period. And this is still a question mark, that what is Median art? What do we have? Do we have any evidence of Median art to fill this gap? Because we have enough information about all other periods. Even we have enough information about the little kingdom of Rataraka, more than the Median period. So it is very strange that why we have this lack of information about the Median period, which was very important in the history of Iran. As we know, Medes, they created the first kind of empire. I say empire because their territory included many different ethnic groups. So maybe we can be able to call it an empire. And the territories they ruled was even larger than Babylonian and Assyrian territories. So within this large empire which they ran, we know them through textual evidence and some other evidence, not through themselves but through the others. We know them through the classical sources. The most important one is the Medicos Logos of Herodotus, who calls Logos, uses the word Logos for the Medes, and also through Ctesias and Xenophon. Also in the Old Testament, there are a number of references to the Medes, especially in the book of Esther and the book of Daniel. We have references that the Medes and the Persians, they are mentioned together. In the Assyrian sources, we have texts and reliefs from the 9th century BC to 7th century BC. There are different references to the Medes. In Babylonian sources, we have different texts, including Nabonidus Chronicle, which is very important. In Nabonidus Chronicle, there is a reference to the capital of the Medes and the last Median king. So we know at least there was a kind of state that they ruled. And some other information we have, the rest of the information, comes from the Achaemenid period. We have the royal inscriptions, including the Bisutun, that there are references to some rebels who try to revive the Median rule and the Median empire. What we mainly know about the kings, who the Median kings, is through Herodotus. Four kings. In their original names, they are Dayaoko, Fravartish, Hovakshatra, and Astiag. And there is a gap in between, which Herodotus says there was a Scythian invasion of Media, which was lasted about less than 30 years. So this is how we know about the Medes. But about the material culture, it is more complicated and difficult. The main problems we have with the Medes, with the art of the Medes, is, first of all, the lack of inscriptions. We don't have any kind of inscriptions that shows this artifact is Median, or it is related to a Median king, or somehow it is related to the Median culture. The second problem is the lack of identifiable material culture. In those places which has been excavated, there were some finds, but there were not some sort of special form of art like statues or reliefs or something that can be identified clearly as Median material culture. De Frankovich was the first person who challenged this idea, I believe, who said Median art is a myth. Not a single work exists of proven Median origin. And discussions are in the realm of myth and fable. And then in 1986, Bruno Genito says state is equal to artistic production. So when there is no art, there is no state. So here, even the existence of the Median state is under question mark. In 1988, Helene Sanchez-Wirdenburg wrote the lack of evidence for an imperial Median art. But the question is, what about non-imperial Median art? We still don't have much evidence from that one as well. And in 1994, Mascarella wrote Median art is absent in the archaeological record. Some people also believe that there was no art. The Medes had absolutely no form of art. I think it is very clear to all of us that art is a nature of mankind. Every group, even primitive cavemen, they have developed a form of art. So it is not possible to think a group of people who run a political state or a territory, they have no form of art at all. And then they didn't have any form of art, if we believe, they didn't have any form of art when they were in the peak of their power as an empire or a kingdom or whatever. But after the collapse, just in maybe two decades, suddenly they turn into the best artists in the world. This is a question. We know it through the inscription of Darius that has references to the artists who worked for the royal palaces at Susa for him. And there are two references to the Medes. The first one is the goldsmiths who wrote the gold. Those were Medes and Egyptians. The strange thing is, as many people know, the Scythians were very famous for their for being the best goldsmiths in the ancient world. Why here they're absent? While they were a part of the Achaemenid Empire, all of the main groups of the Scythians. But why the Medes here are replaced them, and even prior to the Egyptians, who were amazing in producing gold and artistic works and the best goldsmiths. The second one is, the men who adorned the wall, those were Medes and Egyptians. Wall here, as we know through the inscription, in one inscription, there is a clear reference that it is referring to glazed bricks. So all those decorations, amazing glazed bricks found at Susa, they were made by the Medes and Egyptians. So again, why the Medes are here mentioned prior to the Egyptians? So how they had no art when they were in power, and suddenly after two decades, after the collapse of their power, suddenly they overnight became the best artists of the world, selected by the Achaemenid kings to come to work in the project. Some people say they had no form of art, but it was because of the Scythian invasion, which lasted less than 30 years, according to Herodotus. They attacked and invaded Media, and the Medes, they took their art from the Scythians. To me, it is very strange, because invasion is equal to destruction, killing, looting, burning down the cities and villages. So nobody invades a territory saying that, sorry, we're here to teach you about arts. To me, it is very, very strange. And then we have Roman Gershman, who wrote in his book, in Median art, many different strains, Urartian, Assyrian, local Manaean, perhaps even Ionian, were undoubtedly intermingled during this period. So he is one of the people who refers at least to Median art, something called Median art. But some people say, no, there was no Median art. Whatever it is Urartian, Assyrian, Scythian, Manaean, Ionian. So it is something like a mixture of everything, but not Median art. It is something like making a cheesecake. Maybe it is irrelevant, but I think it is important to refer to this. It's like, if somebody wants to have a cheesecake, they say, okay, the cheesecake is made of cream cheese, butter, lemon, eggs, sugar, or whatever. And nobody goes to a shop and says, I prefer to have something which is made of biscuit, lemon, eggs, sugar, milk, and whatever. It is called cheesecake. Altogether has one characteristic, it is cheesecake. It is another example is Persepolis, for example. If there was no inscriptions from Persepolis, what would be the first reaction of the first archaeologist to the art of Persepolis? They would say this is a kind of art of Assyrian, Babylonian, Elamite, Egyptian, Lydian, local, and maybe other forms of art. But it is actually all this together which creates it as the Achaemenid art. It is all together. We can separate it. It is also exists in different forms of art. It is also in the Egyptian art, in the Greek art, in Roman art. What we know from the Assyrians, from the reliefs, the Medes have amazing fortification. So they were fully aware of very good architecture. And they could defend themselves very, very well against the Assyrians. And there are a large number of these fortifications. So they knew how to build fortifications and cities, how a people who have no form of art, they're able to create architecture, which is actually a form of art. And there are many sites that have been excavated, including Nushijan, Godin Tepe, Babajan, and many other sites. And all of them, some of them, they have very well designed with columned halls. And the columned halls started from exactly this period, which we, some scholars, they call it the Iron Age. So it is still difficult to believe that these people, they have no form of art, but they were able to create such amazing architecture. How the Medes are shown themselves in the reliefs of the Assyrians, there is not much, just a few simple reliefs, representations. We see the Medes are bringing some presents to the Assyrian king, and one person who seems to be the leader is bringing a model of the fortification that probably is under his control. But there is not such artistic forms that we can distinguish from the Assyrian reliefs. Especially during the last century, there were, I'm not joking, but thousands of illegal excavations all around Iran. And in many of them, they targeted the sites from the Iron Age. It is very difficult to believe that during all these thousands of illegal excavations, nothing related to the Median period has been found. It is very difficult. It is like the excavations at Susa. When the French excavations started at Susa, at the beginning, they couldn't identify the Parthian and Sasanian finds. They were all labeled as Hellenistic because they were not familiar with it. So maybe what we know about the Median art is something that we have found something during legal and illegal excavations. We have found something, but we were not able to distinguish it or call it Median. Maybe this is the main problem. So what is Median art with all these problems and complications that we have? I think the best way to start the quest is to start from somewhere that we can have a concrete step. And that is the Achaemenid period, where the Medes are shown in large numbers on the reliefs, on seal impressions. And how we know these are the Medes? Because of inscriptions. In the inscriptions, these people having this particular outfit, they are called the Medes. Some people believe this is just the general Iranian outfit of the riders. It is true. But as the inscriptions tell us, in cuneiform and in hieroglyphics, these people with this hat, and some of them, like this one in the hieroglyphic one, which you can see, has some. They have some coats with hanging sleeves. These are particularly called the Medes. And in Persepolis reliefs, almost everywhere, the Medes and the Persians, they are shown together. This reminds us of the Book of Daniel and the Book of Esther, when always the Medes and Persians are mentioned together. The nobles walking together, and we know these people with round hats and these long coats with hanging sleeves or with a tunic and trousers, these are the Medes. This is because the inscriptions tell us exactly who they are. Not just the nobles, but also the guards. They are also a mixed Median and Persian altogether. Among the reliefs, we have a delegation of the Medes here up there who are bringing some presents for the king. And what they bring is different with every other delegation. One of them is bringing a royal throne. This is very strange because no other delegation brings royal thrones. So maybe this is a sign that the Median tradition of the court tradition has transferred into the Persian period. And only the Medes were able to take this duty to bring king a kind of royal throne. They also bring other presents, like an echinakes, a short sword, which the Greeks say this is the Iranian sword worn by the Medes, some vessels, a coat, and some bracelets. The best figure that we can speak about artistic elements of the Medes is this person. First time we meet him on the tomb of Darius, and there's an inscription. He's been introduced as Aspachana. The Vachabara holds the king Darius's Isuvad. Together it means probably he's the royal weapon holder of King Darius. And at the time of Xerxes, we have this one, which shows in the audience scene. But there are several elements in this scene. He's the royal weapon holder, but he's a Mede. This is very interesting, and he has five elements that can be identified as non-Persian. All of these five elements can be Median. So if we start with the first one, there's an ornament on top of the bowcase, or the goritos, called by the Greeks. This is how it looks. The form, the shape, is in the shape of the head of a bird, in the shape of a huge parrot or with a huge beak, with some decorations. And some decorations here, for example, looks like a horn, a goat's horn. And in the middle, you have something like a little leaf with a circle in the middle. So altogether, the combination shows something like a head of a bird from far away. And this is an example of a gold ornament found in the Oxus treasure, which is exactly parallel to this one here, except this line here, this had the replacement of the horn. So, and the example of this bowcase we have, the decoration, comes from Central Asia, which points to the north, somewhere to the north. And then we reach to the Echinacus. The hilt, locket, scabbard, hanger, and the chape, all of them are decorated. And the Echinacus is something which the Median delegation is bringing for the king, but it is very different with Persian sword. Persian sword is more an Elamite sword, which is like this on the statue of Darius, which is a kind of long scabbard which goes under the belt and locks over the belt, but an Echinacus is hanged from the belt on either side. And the chape, they're highly decorated. There are more examples from Persepolis. I choose just these four examples for you. These are some kind of pressed animals or twisted animals with very distinctive line of hair under their neck, if you see. And the horns are looking like a heart shape. So most of the chapes, they have this kind of, this form of art, which is not Persian. We're familiar with other examples from Takht-e-Sangin in Tajikistan, again, Central Asia, from Ziwiye, which is a site where many people thought it is Sidian, but we can question that. From two other sites, that two other animals like this are facing each other, and the parallel ones are from Melganov and Kellermes, north of the Black Sea. So they, again, point us somewhere far away to the north. But there are actual chapes found in archaeological excavations or finds. One is in the Ashmolean Museum. You can see, again, a kind of animal with the same eye and ear has been twisted with the tail. And this one, which a lion attacks another animal, and you can see a distinctive hairline under the neck of the other animal. On the scabbard, on the body of scabbard, you have a rows of goats. And we can compare it with some representations from Hasanlu and Kellermes, again, next to the Black Sea. So again, it is taking us to the sites which are more located to the north. Of course, the theme is Assyrian. There is no doubt. But if we put the representations next to each other, you can see they are clearly different with each other. This is Assyrian, and this one is from Ziwiye. So you can see there are different hands, there are different styles working in these, which are making them totally different from each other. And this is an example of a scabbard from Takht-e-Sangin in Tajikistan. Again, the same form of Iranian scabbard, especially with the form of chape, which is familiar in Persepolis. The other item is the strap guard. This strap guard is usually made of bronze. One example has been found in Persepolis. And they are used to lock the belts or other things only by the Medes, not by the Persians, only by the Medes. There are other examples like this. Oops, sorry. On a horse rein. But this is belonging to the Scythian delegation, the horse brought by the Scythian delegation. Again, this one is taking us to the north. So as we see, most of these elements that we try to focus on are leading us to somewhere in the north, to the Eurasian territory. And then the famous battle axe called Sagaris is a kind of deadly weapon. From one side, it can make terrible crushes to the helmets, and from the other side, it can pierce the helmets, and it is used usually by the northern people. One example has been found in Persepolis, and there is a decoration of head of an animal, very little here, which is different with Persian design and the current Persepolitan design. We are also familiar with this kind of sagaris, or long battle axes. They are found from many places north of the Black Sea, like Kellermes. They were also known to the Greeks, and the Greeks thought these are used by the Amazons, the Massagetae, the Scythians, and the Persians. Again, all the people who are related somehow to the north, except the Persians. Also, you have it on the seal impressions, like this one. The Persian king is fighting a Scythian with a sagaris, the same weapon. And on the Tatarli wall drawings, again, the Persian king fighting a Scythian, and the Scythian wears a sagaris. So these all pointing us again to the north, somewhere to the north. Now about the outfit and foot gear, these are which are worn by the Medes. They are shared by several people. We know it because of the Persepolis reliefs. And these people are located in these locations. If we connect them, again, they are pointing us to the northern lands. From the Central Asia, they go up to the land of the Scythians or the Eurasian steppes. There were two finds which Ernst Herzfeld claimed that they have been found at Hamedan, the capital of the Medes. And these are different. Only the iconography had been identified as Median by Herzfeld. The writing is in cuneiform, but not in a Median dialect, which is rather unknown, but it looks like they wear a kind of Mesopotamian outfit, but with a Median, this one with a Median hat. And these, which come from the Oxus treasure, seem to have some crowns and dresses very close to the Assyrian kings, but it is not exactly an Assyrian outfit. It is different. And the bracelets brought by the Median delegation, they have this distinctive line under the neck that we mentioned before. We have several examples here, like a primitive one, exactly all of them, until you can see how they develop into more royal court style. And all of them, they have this kind of distinctive line of hair or decorations under the neck. The earlier northern, or if we can call them Scythian, representations of these animals, they have this kind of sharp ears and this line again under the neck, showing some griffins. That we have them in Zivier. Again, we have seen this part under the neck. Here on the Oxus treasure, which was once decorated with a semi-precious stone, which is missing now. And the two griffins which are more in the Achaemenid court style. And about the writings, we can maybe distinguish the development of these, like this one, which has a totally round-shaped eye, this sharp ear, and this line under the neck, with this form of lips and nose. This is more developed. This one has turned into more royal Achaemenid style. So maybe we can identify some form of development of art. What we have from southwestern Siberia, which is this one up here, you have some form of lion attacking a horse with some decorations on the body with circles and some triangles. And in here, in this one is more developed with more inlays, and it is more shaping into the form of the Achaemenid royal style. And more examples from the Oxus treasure. Again, the same shapes appear here with the tail like a heart shape with sharp ears and the form of a griffin that reminds us again the same thing. And a sword found in Hamadan. We have independent heads decorated the sword, and there are small little animals under here, which is very typical. Again, those squeezed animals, they are shown here. This is very typical, which is not Persian style at all. We can also refer to the plate from Ziwiye, which is decorated with different animals and shapes, including this animal, which is very well known. I think Dr. Lerner would tell more about this. These animals with heart-shaped ears and with round-shaped hands, some kind of crouching. And the lines of, again, this animal and the familiar big bird head with a huge beak decorated this. These are coming from Ziwiye, which usually people describe it as Scythian, but I think these are not Scythian. They look Scythian, but they can be different with the Scythians. Porada believes distinctively Scythian features are the heart-shaped ear, the circular eye, the upcarving curving lips, and the abstract body. It is true, we have some examples from the Scythians, and all the hands, as you can see, is decorated each with all these animals. But we also have similar ones from other sites. It is not just from one site. They come from Tepe Babajan in Iran as a pin, or another form of it, a little bit different, from northeast China. So they are scattered in the Eurasian lands through the steppe. It is not just limited to one place. And the heads, the famous heads of the birds, like these reminds the scabbard at Persepolis, that these are in fact the same thing, the same bird with the eye and the huge beak going underneath. And these are coming also from the Scythian sites. This is very well-known Eurasian animal. And it is very complicated, and it is very interesting. If you look at the details, you can see this is a head of a bird with the eye and the huge beak. At the same time, this is the eye and the huge beak. And again, this is the eye and a beak. So it is all twisted inside each other. They're mixed inside each other and created this form of bird head, with this decorative little flower here, which is very useful to know in many works of art in the Median period. And the famous gold plate from Ziwiye, we have the same representations from Kellermes, north of the Black Sea, the running deers. They look very similar. So they are very much alike. For example, this one is from north of the Black Sea, and from Ziwiye. But it doesn't mean they're all Scythian. They come from different territories, from Ukraine, Russia, Iran, Kazakhstan, and Mongolia to China. So this is the examples from Northeast China. They are changing from part to part. So it is a mutual culture, the art culture, in the steppes of Eurasia, Eurasian lands. And again, another examples, you can see an example from Ziwie with the same characteristics, but it is a little bit different in Northwest China. So they are copying these artistic elements. They are giving it to each other, all the tribes and the nomads. They are trading these forms of art, and they are spreading all over the steppe area. But the most important thing, in my view, is the Ziwie pectoral. Here you have a style which is very much influenced by Mesopotamian style, like here and here, but they are not completely Mesopotamian. But at the corners, when there was a little gap, I think the artist has revealed his real identity. He has decorated it with our old friend, that crouching little animal, which is comes from the art of the northern lands, the Eurasian animal. I think this was ordered by someone, commissioned by someone to create this pectoral for him. And this artist could feel the only little gap that was unable to fit anything there with his own art. So this seems to be maybe we are dealing with a piece made by a median. And about glazed bricks. It is very difficult and complicated to speak about glazed bricks because they are all made in the court style. So making a distinction between Egyptian and median would be very difficult. But for example, the winged disc shown on the glazed bricks, of course, we know it. It is the symbol of Ra, especially if this is in an empty circle with red or yellow. It is the symbol of Ra or Horus, the sun god. And in the Assyrian ones, we have this tail added. So it is maybe we can see some similarities with the Egyptians' sun god. And here, the way the hands are made, they can be somehow be seen as the Egyptian style. But we have such decoration which is not Egyptian. What we are dealing with, it is not clear. It is made with different triangles, and it is a geometric design which once decorated the floor. And this is definitely not Egyptian, not Babylonian, not Mesopotamian at all. And we have this example, which is very interesting. This is maybe brings us closer to the point. We have triangles, independent heads of lions with sharp sides, and circles. We can compare it with some gold ornaments from Hamedan and Amlash, and again, they have been found from Median sites and from the Pazirik that connects us to the north, again, somewhere to the beyond the Central Asia. And we have this kind of representation, not just there, but also in here with the triangles and walking lions, which is a very familiar representation in Achaemenid art from Macedonia. So as you can see, from Pazirik to Macedonia, we have these representations which seem to be very similar to each other. And at Persepolis in the center, we have the rows of decorated garment of the king with lions and triangles. And we can see the triangles and lions on the glazed bricks from Susa as well. And we have these strange wavy shape patterns with lotus flowers with sharp edges, which is very unusual. Some people said how we can find any similarity between this one and the Egyptians. But this pattern is familiar to us as the scabbard, the hanger of the scabbards of the Medes. They are all with the same pattern. So this can be a sign of the presence of the Medes in a wall decoration of Susa. And with the rosette with triangular shaped petals, which is very unusual in Achaemenid art, we have them from Zivie. Again, something which was connected to the Scythians. And in this one, you have this animal and the petals. So if you look at these vases from above, they look like exactly like a rosette in this shape. Which we have other examples from north of the Black Sea. Again, we have them there as well. So it looks like it's a unique culture that's spreading everywhere with the famous birds with the huge beak. And from Zivie, this form of animal, it is not just from this period. Before that, we have it from the northern lands, from southern Ukraine, for example, and from Hasanlu. So again, this form is also connected to the people from the north. And we have one example from Talpan, under Indo-Pakistan region, which is very close to the Central Asia. You have these sharp edges, the circles, which are now we're familiar with, something which looks like a wing and is kneeling like those other ones. And Talpan is known because of its connection with the Medes, because there are three representations of the Medes. They are being introduced as the Medes because of their clothes, the design, and the hats, and the form they are standing. They have been introduced as the possibly the Medes. So if the Egyptians and the Medes were the goldsmiths working together, so maybe we can see this piece as a collaboration, a joint work together between them. You have some designs which is not Egyptian, but you have Bes, the Egyptian god, in the middle, and something that you can find the features of that kind of art we're talking about. So it looks like this Median art, or whatever it is, it has influenced this kind of northern Eurasian art, has influenced some other arts, like Marlik. For example, here, the standing goats, or these, which are very close to those running deers, they might have been influenced by the new people who arrived to the country with their own art. So this is the map of the steppes. And we have all these forms of art that we spoke about from north of the Black Sea all to Manchuria. It is something like all the nomads, they were in trade with each other. They were giving and getting new ideas. They were exchanging these forms of art, and they were sending these art to the next nomad group. So it was all these forms of arts are traveling from here to there with some differences, of course. The forms of the animals we have north of the Black Sea is different with the one in Manchuria, but they are exactly distinguishable, and we can say they're the same. But the question is, why we call every art Scythian? Because if the Scythians are in the north, the Medes were also in the north. We know the Medes migrated from the north to Iran. So they brought with them their share of the Eurasian art with them down to Iran. So it's not like they say, okay, we decided to go away from tomorrow. Let's forget about our art, and then let's create a new art. And of course, the Medes came down with their own share of the Eurasian steppe art, whatever we call it. But something else which this can tell us is which direction they migrated to Iran. I think because of the similarities between the artifacts we have with the north of the Black Sea, Caucasus, Talesh region, Amlash, and this kind of area, which is more Urartu and Hasanlu, I think they migrated from the west side of the Caspian Sea, not, as some people suggest, from the east of the Caspian Sea. The Parthians who lived east of the Caspian Sea, they had their own art, and it is a little bit different. But the exact form of art we have, they look all similar from many sites up there, even in this area. when they come down to this area, and they were still in exchange. They were receiving some forms of art, and they were giving some art which was influenced by Mesopotamian art back to them. Even the Scythians, they were influenced by this art. It was something like a huge trade route, the exchange of art forms going on at that age. It was not like separate groups. So I think we can think about the possible direction of the migration of the Medes from the west of the Caspian Sea to Iran. So as the final suggestion, if one day somebody opens a Median tomb or finds a Median treasure, I think what we expect is one of these four categories, or pure northern nomadic art, which we can call it Oration artistic elements like Xivia plate, or northern elements plus Mesopotamian artistic elements, mainly Assyrian, like Xivia pectoral, northern elements with local art like Marlik, and northern elements plus Mesopotamian plus local artistic elements like Median scabbard. So if one day somebody finds a treasure or opens an untouched tomb of a Median by chance, anyhow, I think what we can expect is one of these or all of these forms together. And I think Xivia is not Scythian as it has been introduced. It is a kind of Median art, but because it is very close to the forms of the Scythian art, it has been recognized as Scythian. But I think it has its own characteristics. And Scythian is also a part of the Oration art which is going on in the Eurasian steppes. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much indeed, Sharok. That was a tour de force, and if I may say, a brilliant lecture. Sharok explained at the beginning very well how this situation has come about, that a series of revisionist historians, if I can call them that, you saw the names of some of them up on the screen. None of them here this evening, I can assure you, more or less tried to write the Medes out of history, with people claiming that the Medes were a disparate group of tribes. They were not unified. They had no distinctive art style of their own, and so on. Now, I think, putting it bluntly, this really does have to be nonsense. It's inconceivable that the Medes didn't have a distinctive art style of their own. Let's look at the situation. They were a very formidable force in the Middle East from at least the 9th century onwards. That's when they first appear in the Assyrian record, and they were clearly a major threat to the Assyrians. And they were strong enough that in the time of the Assyrian king Esarhaddon, Assyrians signed a series of treaties with them known as the vassal treaties, whereby the Medes promised not to interfere in the accession arrangements of the Assyrian kingdom. Now, the Assyrians at this time were more or less controlling the whole of the west of the ancient Near East, and they had, of course, under Esarhaddon, invaded Egypt. So the fact that they paid respect to the Medes and felt that they have to get their allegiance, I think, does have to mean an awful lot. And not long after that, in the years 614, 612 BC, the Medes were the dominant force in the destruction of Assyria. They allied, it is true, with the Babylonians, but to my mind it's clear that the Medes were the major partner in the operation. And thereafter, until the rise of Babylon, they were effectively controlling the northern part of Mesopotamia. So the Medes, at least between the 9th and the 6th centuries, were certainly a force to be reckoned with. And as I said, it's inconceivable that they couldn't have had art styles of their own. Nobody's arguing that they were a unified kingdom as such, but that doesn't really make any difference. They were certainly closely allied tribes. So how has the situation come about that people could even have said that there was no such thing as Median art? I think to answer this question, we've got to look generally at the state of Iranian archaeology. Now, it is, in effect, still in its infancy. There's still a huge number of discoveries to be made in Iran. And I remind you of some of the things which have been discovered in the last 20 or 30 years. There's this wonderful civilization around Giraft, for example, near Kerman. The other sites in eastern Iran, Shahdad and Shari Sohter. And there's also in Elam, even in Khuzestan, very remarkable discoveries at Arjan, for instance. Where a number of tombs have been found dating from the early 6th century, from a period when it was thought that the Elamite civilization had completely evaporated. The point I'm making is that until 20 or 30 years ago, we knew nothing of these wonderful civilizations. And the discoveries that have been made in the last few decades are really extraordinary. And there are going to be many more of these discoveries, and I'm absolutely no doubt that we'll soon see some terrific revelations, actually, about the Medes. And one important thing is, I think it's worthwhile bearing in mind that if some of these Iranian sites have been discovered before the main sites in Mesopotamia have been excavated, it's probable that Iranian archaeology would be the one that everybody looked to, rather than Mesopotamian. I think another 25 years will have elapsed, and you'll see a completely different picture emerging about the ancient Near East. Well, to get back to the point, of course, I completely agree with Shorok that there is a media not. I think I'm supporting or trying to support your arguments. He already has written a very, very interesting article in Iranica Antiqua, arguing the same thing. This evening, he's elaborated on the thoughts which he presented in that article. One thing I think we have to remember is this old-fashioned archaeological dictum that absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. The fact that nobody has yet discovered the tombs of the Median kings doesn't mean to say that they didn't have any tombs or they didn't have a very distinctive art style. So I think, Shahrukh, I'd like to congratulate you on your attempts to put the Medes back on the map and to put the art back into perspective. And I think you've gone a long way towards establishing a canon of Median art, and I wish you all the well, all good wishes in the future to go on working on this, and I think it'll be a huge contribution to Iranian studies. Thank you so much. A wonderful.